Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves, by the way. That's what our moms tell people when they replace us with Apple Intelligence in like 2 weeks. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way. And hey, you remember the intro. It's been a while, but
I know.
Still got it.
The old ticker is still going. Actually, yeah. That's not it. The ticker is this one.
Yeah, that's that one.
What's
the old noggin.
The old noggin.
That's a
there
good
you
one.
Go.
Yeah, yeah,
did
yeah.
you ever watch Noggin, that channel?
Yeah, the kids show. The kids, yeah.
They had some good stuff on there.
Yeah.
I used to be a Noggin loyalist, okay? That's a great point, though. I don't remember a single piece of programming that was on it.
Yeah, I just remember that I would watch it because they had like whatever the interstitials where they would say the name of the, you know, the channel.
Let's immediately derail this just so that we can find out. Let's go to Noggin Wikipedia. Did anyone else? This is appealing to a very, very. Oh, wait a minute. That's hilarious. Sam's being yelled at by John in the chat. Because he was talking to us when they were supposed to be recording an ad.
We were doing, yeah, Sam was talking to us in the pre-show, and then I guess John showed up at the actual show.
Oh, dear.
Hi, John. Miss you.
Hi, John. Come here, Pookie. We should do a show together.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the actual topic, which was Noggin. It was an edutainment brand that launched February 2nd, 1999. Oh, it was an MTV network. That's interesting. Hmm. But what were the actual shows on it? Does anyone actually remember what the shows that we used to watch on Noggin were? I can't find any. If anyone has any, Toilet Squad. Oh, no, that's a Front Page Tech thing. That's not. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound like a good kid show.
We're really getting a lot of. Right now, okay, we're being hijacked.
Yeah.
I just got to put this out there. We've got Sam and John talking to each other, by the way, in our chat, while they're supposedly doing their own podcast.
Yeah, what is it? First of all, we hijacked ourselves by talking about Noggin.
That is true.
Which is part of it. But you know, they've hijacked the chat. We've hijacked the show. We're kind of a mess right now.
This is a disaster. Let's talk about the iPhone 16,
okay,
shall we?
Let's do it.
Actually, wait. I want to get. I gotta get the best one.
Oh yes.
The good one.
Yes. You got to go into the.
I can say you can go into the pile.
I think people know about the pile.
What the pile? You mean this?
Yeah, there it is.
See, look, everyone on YouTube is always like, "Oh, he just buys everything and returns it." I don't return everything. Sometimes there are bigger plans at work.
It's true.
But it also conveniently gives me the opportunity to discuss the objectively best color iPhone that I think has been released in years.
Oh, yeah.
Years. In fact, I think I have the second best color. Hold this. I have the second best color that has ever existed on an iPhone, and it's right over here.
Oh, the 5.
Dude, this color is unbelievable. That slate. First of all, this is a new open box.
Perfect condition.
You don't see these very often.
Wow.
There was a while in 2021 where these things were popping up on eBay and I was snapping them up like hotcakes. I think I still have 2 sealed 5s and then I have another one that's like this that's open.
Wow.
But man, this color was something else. This phone was something else.
That was a big, you know, they made it taller. That was a big deal.
The memes, do you remember those?
Yeah, the really tall iPhone. Yeah. The lightsaber iPhone, yeah.
Let's see if I have battery in this thing. They do hold their battery for a while, but I think it's probably flat.
I have a lightning cord here. I can plug it in.
Ooh. iOS 6.
Oh, I want to see iOS 6 again. That is, no, that the 5 is such a good looking phone. But this, I feel like, but it's a very, like, you know, it's black, it's gray, so it's very nice looking, but it's very serious. This one is, like, this one's fun. I don't think I've seen this, I think is the first time I've seen it in person, but it's so, I'm also noticing the SIM.
Oh, yeah.
The SIM slot.
We got the Australia SIM tray.
That's really funny, but this is, it's such a nice color. I really like this.
Yeah, they absolutely knocked it out of the park. And the thing is, I mean, the other colors are good too. I don't have the teal because I sold that to a friend that they needed a phone in Australia. So I have every color except the teal.
Okay.
And I have a feeling this pink is going to be absolutely popping.
That's a nice... I'm so glad that they're actual colors now and they're not just like white with a little tinge of, of a hint of something.
Like, I feel like the previous more... Okay, I don't have a problem with pastel colors, but they weren't even pastel.
Yeah, it was like basically nothing.
All of the colored iPhones, especially in like the 12 and 13 series, which were really abysmal, those were basically just like somebody put a white iPhone in the wash with a pink shirt.
Yeah.
And there was some dye transfer. That's what we've been working with for years. So it is genuinely really nice to see some actual fun, interesting colors on the regular 16.
Yeah, that's all. And before, really quick, people are mentioning that the product red. People want a product red. There's been a few people talking about that. That would be so... Red's my favorite color. I would love...
And the thing is, there was a red 15. Or it might... No, 14. Sorry. There was a product red 14.
Mm.
But there was no product red 15 or 16. And... So I thought, okay, maybe they stopped working with product red. But for some reason, let me see if I can find the tweet on absolutely no notice. They tweeted like a thing about iPhones.
Really?
They were, let me see if I can find this. Yeah, look, here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Let me share this screen. And it's just very strange. I'm like, I don't really understand why Apple stopped doing these product red. And it's really weird to see this on October 6th, 2024. This is a 14. And they're posting this when the 16 is out and when there is no product red version of it. It's very strange. I don't really know what that's about.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like... I mean, maybe they were going to do something and then it didn't. But no.
But
I don't,
2 years in a row.
It's weird. No, it's weird. But I love the red. I wish that they would do a red for, I guess, iPhone 17. But it's still going to be the regular one. So to your point, it's going to be the regular one. It's not going to be the Pro.
And that's, I think, the biggest issue that I have right now is I feel like a lot of the fun. I mean, the fun is nice. But it's also just the feeling of like, holy cow, this is a high quality thing. And that, I think, is why, let's see if iPhone 5, he's not ready yet. Okay. He's still charging.
Okay.
But that is what made the iPhone 5 and the 4 even so special. Like when you look at the iPhone 2G and the 3G and the 3GS, especially the 3GS, which is plastic, the 3s were not, they didn't feel that fancy.
Yeah.
But when you went to metal and glass, the iPhone 5 design with the aluminum and the chamfered edges and like the glass inserts, the tolerances on this design are unbelievable. Those glass inserts, you cannot even get a fingernail behind them. They just absolutely nailed it. And the thing is, I think that the 16 Pros do feel really nice. Obviously, the titanium, that frosted glass on the back that we've had since the 11 Pro is great. The cameras, I mean, it's all good. It feels like a premium phone.
Yeah.
But I don't know why this is, but I don't feel that sense of specialness. Maybe that's because it's been 17 years. And like, you know, obviously it's more mature now, but it just does make you kind of wish that there was a little bit more than sticking a button on the side.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it does have to do with, I guess, you know, the 12 was when they did the flattened edges, right?
Yes.
It was the 12. So, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, it's all the edges have been basically, okay, not identical because the material is different. It used to be like a glossy, you know, now it's titanium. But still, I really think it has to do with just the amount of time, not only that it's been the same, but I guess the amount of time that the iPhone itself has existed.
Right. Yeah, no, and I think, so I talked about that in my review. Mm-hmm. My review was really more of a thought piece than it was an actual, here's the details of this product. And the reason for that is because this phone is, it's a symbol of the new strategy, the mm-hmm. new world order as it pertains to the iPhone. And that is basically, we are done with designs, redesigns. We're done with TikTok, S year, all of that. It's gone and it's never coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so my review was really more coming to terms with how this new system works. And to your point, you're saying, okay, well, when did they release the square size? It was the 12, and then the 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and kind of that really, really hits on exactly what I was talking about in that video.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't even get a clear demarcation anymore of what a design is.
Yeah.
Like you look at the 16 Pro, you can draw back the camera design to the 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the 12 Pro, which had the squared off sides, but the 15 had slightly less squared off sides, but it wasn't a redesign.
Right.
And then this year they made the screen bigger. That's one of the things I said in the video. Why change the design to titanium and shrink the phone around the screen and then 1 year later make the whole thing bigger again? Why would you do that? Why would Apple not say, save it for another year? Why didn't they keep the iPhone 14 design, do internal updates, and then go to titanium, thinner bezels, and a larger display all at the same time? Because I think if they had done that, you would have looked at this phone and said, that's a redesign.
Yeah.
You would have said, okay, your screen is bigger, the edges are rounded, it's a new material, the bezels are small, this feels like a redesign. But because they stagger it, they do dynamic island 1 year, titanium the next, larger the next, none of them ever really feel that different.
You know, I didn't think about that. It's a good point. The dynamic island is obviously a big visual change.
Right.
The other thing is a little bit more subtle, you know, rounding the edges a little bit more, making the screen a little bigger. It's a little more subtle, but it's definitely noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good point that, like, the 15, I don't think I would call it a redesign, but definitely, like, they made a big deal about titanium. That was
right.
Literally their tagline for the Pro models.
Kind of funny if you think about it.
Yeah. Just
nothing about the phone, just titanium. Hey, it's titanium.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it wasn't really a redesign, but they made a big deal about, you know, new material, I mm-hmm. guess. And it was slightly different. But I agree that, like, you know, if this phone, what you said, if they skipped the 15 and this phone had all of that stuff at once, you would call it a redesign a bit more. As it stands, I would say that the 15 was a half redesign, not really a redesign, but like a design change a little bit. And then this phone is so incremental. They made the bezels a little bit smaller, but mm-hmm. you know, that's about it.
And so I've really wrestled a lot with this, but let me pose it to you as mm-hmm. as a question. Because of all of these factors and the blurring of lines, I know obviously as consumers, we want every year to be a big year.
Yeah.
Or every other year to be a big year or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, like, there's just at some point, there's just a limit to what can actually be done.
Yeah.
So I get that we're not going to get, you know, the iPhone 5 again, where it's going to be just an absolutely massive game-changing device.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a product of being in the first 5 years of its development. Absolutely. But would you rather, or not would you rather, would it make more sense for Apple from a business perspective to kind of go back to that in a little bit? Like, would it make more sense for Apple to make every other year big and every other year small,
mm-hmm.
thus creating this TikTok cycle again of many people upgrading for the off year? Or for the big year, I honestly don't know. I mean, obviously, you have to imagine that Apple has done the math on this more than we could ever speculate.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have determined that, in fact, it's better to do one update or one feature every year and change it incrementally. But there is a part of me that wonders if they would actually sell more phones if they did, like, let's say, for the features that we've mentioned, let's say they did the 14, and then they did the 15 with camera, chip, battery, nothing else. Mm-hmm. And then this year did dynamic island, titanium, larger screen, bigger battery. Because in my mind, it seems like you would undoubtedly lose some people on the 15 in that case.
Yeah.
Right. Undeniably, people would say, this is nothing, I'm not going to buy it. But wouldn't more people, just by a product of being so wowed by seeing those features come out, then buy a 16 Pro this year? And maybe if you did every other year making the phone so exciting, maybe people would then feel more excitement and would upgrade sooner. Because on the one hand, with the incremental updates, you can definitely get people every year.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, okay, I'll buy in at USB-C. Okay, I'll buy in at larger screen. Okay, I'll buy in at Dynamic Island. You know, you can kind of get a purchase, get a sale every year. But a lot of people also keep their phones a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this has probably happened to you too, they come up to us, they say, what's new? I say, well, there's a button on the side now. They say, so should I upgrade? Like, should I really care about that? And you kind of just say, I mean, it's nice if you like it.
Yeah.
But if you don't need a new phone, then you probably don't.
Yeah.
Whereas, if the phone was, if I could sit down and say, well, they've got this new dynamic island, we're on USB-C now, they made the phone bigger, it's titanium, it's a little bit more comfortable to hold, it's a different design, and if I could tell them all of that, even if they're coming from the same phone, iPhone 14 Pro, they would say, oh, that's interesting, maybe I'll buy that.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, there's going to be people like us who are going to buy every year, just, you know, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some people, you know, yeah, good example here. Upgrade every year. It's the treat of the year. Sure.
Every September, you get to treat yourself to a fresh battery and a new phone. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's going to be some people like that that are going to do it regardless. Maybe you'd lose a few of them if you have an S model, but you know, a lot of them will probably, you're still going to do it. It's your job, but you're still going to do it.
I mean, the iPhone 6S was a nothing phone. They added 3D Touch,
mm-hmm.
made the camera a little better. I miss 3D Touch. I wish they'd bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
But like the iPhone 6S was, if the iPhone 6S came out today, everyone would lose their goddamn mind talking about how Apple's washed and it's over and it's done. But the reason why the iPhone 6S wasn't a problem was because it followed the 6.
Right.
And it was this huge thing. And in some ways, I kind of see that like the model year cycle of a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get, or even a MacBook, right? You get the big new design. Most people probably are going to hear about it, if not buy it. But then the function of the S, the function of the M3 and the M4, the function of the, you know, tweaked version of the Model 3 that comes out, you know, 2 years into production, is those people who saw it are aware but haven't gotten around to upgrading yet, you sweeten the pot. That's what the 6S was. The 6S was, hey, still on your 4 or your 5 or your 5S? Well, now we've added gold color, 3D touch, battery life's a little better, refined it just a bit.
Yeah.
Come on over. That's what the S was always about.
Yeah.
And I really think that, I mean, obviously, business-wise, they've gone a different direction, and that's probably the more profitable way to go. But I feel like it's kind of ruining it for me, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I think maybe part of it's like you said, if the 6S or a phone like the 6S came out today,
mm-hmm.
there'd be bad press. Oh, Apple's lost
riots
their
in
thing.
The street.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah, Apple can't do it anymore. What are they doing? So I feel like, and I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm not old enough. Maybe I've been paying attention for long enough. But like, I feel like maybe that's accelerated a bit, that like, or maybe it's because the iPhone is so mature now and Apple's been doing it for so long that like in the earlier days it was okay to have those years that weren't as big. Mm-hmm. But now if Apple skips a year, it's gonna you know, hurt their stock, it's gonna look bad for them. So there's more pressure or more expectation of every year. So maybe that's part of the reason. Probably they're also making more money doing it the way that they are, like, you know, like we said. But I think maybe part of it is that there's just more pressure to not have a completely dead year or a you know, significantly worse year.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Because the iPhone is so much of their sales. On the Mac, it's fine. Like, look, we can actually use this to now sort of subtly transition to the next event.
Very subtle.
Very subtle.
Yeah.
And made even more subtle by my drawing attention to it.
Yeah.
But the... Right now, I keep seeing these articles coming out these days being like, Mac sales are down. Like, well, yeah, kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because everyone bought at the M1 Pro.
Yeah.
That was, I think it's kind of hard to understate what a seismic shift November of 2020 to November of 2021 was. Apple literally upended the entire world of laptops and computing. But that's not the, you know, it's not as big a draw as the iPhone, so you don't hear about it. It doesn't get as many headlines.
Yeah.
They changed the world, but in a more subtle and quiet way. And I mean, nowadays, I rarely will see an Intel MacBook in like a coffee shop.
Yeah.
It is truly insane the number of people that were upgrading the past 3-4 years. It's nuts. And so, yeah, it makes sense that people aren't upgrading now. On the one hand, they just bought a computer probably less than 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're not really due for an upgrade yet. And on the other hand, their computer is already probably faster than they ever needed it to be.
Yeah.
The M1 MacBook Air is faster than 95% of all MacBooks that ever existed. Literally, the worst, objectively slowest Apple Silicon machine instantaneously came in and just blew the entire lid off every MacBook that ever existed.
Yeah, and they're lasting a lot longer because of that. So people need to upgrade less. I mean, also Apple hasn't really they did the initial redesigns when Apple Silicon came out.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like the MacBook Air got its redesign, but it hasn't gotten another one yet.
Mm.
MacBook Pro, like they haven't gotten another one yet, and that might prompt people to upgrade. But I feel like even still, these things are so good, they're gonna last for so long that it's part, and maybe that's part of, I guess, part of the iPhone thing too. I don't wanna, you know, go back there, mm-hmm. but it's part of the iPhone thing too, that like the phones can last longer. So if you have an off year or an S year, I'll say,
mm-hmm.
probably even fewer people would buy that than, you know, would have in the days of the 6S, for example.
That's probably true, yeah. And I just think it's very interesting how they haven't applied the same logic with the iPhone to the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and in a way, I'm kind of glad about that, right?
Yeah.
So this generation, this M4 MacBook Pro, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is going to be the last update before we get a new generation. We'll see what happens, because obviously the precedent for these is a lot less because there's fewer generations. Yeah. But historically, the MacBook Pro existed January 2006. And it was in many ways very similar to the transition from Intel insofar as they didn't change the design. So the original Intel MacBook Pros are a tweaked version of the PowerBook design that came before that, mm-hmm. and that launched in 2002.
Mm.
So, or it was either 02 or 03. I think it might have been 03.
Okay.
But that generation, if you broaden it to include PowerPC, it goes from 03 to 08, so 5 years. And that's important because it bridges a transition.
Right.
So then after that, 2008, we got the unibody, obviously. The unibody was a big deal.
Yeah.
2012, we get the Retina. There was a little bit of a transition there because the Retina was more expensive and they sold alongside for a bit, but you know, that's where we draw the line.
Yeah.
After that, 2016, we get the Touch Bar. But then we get another exception, which is another transition. And there's that stopgap chip, the 16-inch Intel, which was a, again, tweaked design that was basically the same thing that kind of bridged the gap for the Apple Silicon transition. So that was 5 years between designs. This is now coming up on year three. And the third, technically fourth update to this generation. Which is weird, because we've actually had more, well, depending on how you slice it, we've had more updates, or at least more impactful updates, because the performance bumps under Intel were like, oh boy, 2% better CPU. But we've in three yeah. years, we've had four jumps of like 15 to 20%
yeah.
in performance, which is nuts and would have set the world on fire in a very positive direction under Intel. But the big question is this the last of the current generation? It feels so new that it's like hard to even imagine a redesign.
Yeah.
But it's 4 years next year. Next fall, M5, what do we think?
No, I agree. I mean, I do wonder, obviously with Apple Silicon, these computers are lasting longer, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that the design could last longer. Because there were, okay, you know, it's like the Touch Bar, the generation before this. There were obvious issues. The Touch Bar was kind of divisive. People didn't, some people liked it, some people didn't like it, and, you know, it's not with us anymore,
fortunately,
to put it, you know, in one way, it's no longer with us.
Oh dear, he's in a better place. He's at a farm upstate.
Okay, the Touch Bar, the thermals, right? The thermals, especially with the 16 inch with the i9, there were very clear, you know, clear problems. USB-C only was a thing at the beginning, you know, dongle life, that was a whole thing when those things were new.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously by the end people were used to it and it was a good thing, but
right.
Anyways, there were clearly issues with those computers. Even, okay, USB-C, but they did put HDMI and SD card on the MacBook Pro, you know, in this generation.
Which is kind of ironic, because I'm glad they put them on there, but I think they're less useful than they've ever been.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an interesting choice. I will never complain about the SD cards, though.
I don't use it personally, but, you know, I'm happy for you.
I mean, yeah, for me,
I'm happy for you.
That's a must. What I will say is I don't use MagSafe.
Me neither.
Ever.
Me, because it's USB-C. You can charge everything with that cable. When I travel, I have one charger, and it's just USB-C charger.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I sometimes bring a lightning cord just because of AirPods Max, and I refuse to update those.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm going on a trip with family, I'll throw in a lightning cord in case someone needs it. You know,
because
sometimes people aren't up to date. They don't have the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, she does not have USB-C yet. She's still on the 12. This year, she's upgrading, though.
Okay.
Because she's finally reached the tipping point of like, okay, battery bad, phone's a little beat up, would like newer features and better camera for taking pictures of the cats.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, the time has come. But, you know, if you're talking about the Mac, people update less often. I don't even know that a redesign is going to be enough to get people pried away from their M1 Pro MacBook Pros, because those things were just so good. I mean, like, think about this from like a realistic standpoint. If you're upgrading, you have an M1 Max, mm-hmm. 16-inch,
mm-hmm.
and I know you've talked about wanting a smaller size, but yeah. setting aside form factor switching, what would it actually take that would make you go, holy cow, that's a great upgrade, I need that, I'm gonna buy it?
I don't even know, because yeah, going back to the thing I was saying before, is like, there were clearly issues with the previous generation, right?
Yes.
And even the ones before that, you could argue that there were clearly issues, and I'm not saying that the ones that we have right now are perfect,
mm-hmm.
but I can't think of anything that's like a glaring issue. That's like, they need to fix this. They need to redesign this.
That's
the thermals
true.
Are great. The ports are, you know, I don't have any problems with the ports. There's no Touch Bar. The keyboard, I didn't even talk about the butterfly keyboard.
Oh, God.
That was
yeah.
another thing. We're good on the keyboard. Like, everything's great. There's nothing. And so to answer your question, there's nothing that I need or that I would be like, you know, please fix this issue. There's no issues that I have. And then what would it even take? I'm trying to think of, I mean, they could add Face ID. Would that convince me? No, I don't think it would. I mean, it would be cool.
Nice, but not, it's sort of a deal sweetener, not a game changer.
Yeah, exactly. Because, right. like, Touch ID is already, you know, easy. It's just a key on the keyboard. You touch it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I don't even know that Face ID is necessary.
Yeah.
I guess, okay, for logging in, I don't think it would make a difference. But for, like, passwords. You know when you autofill a password and you got to hit the Touch ID? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just hit that and then it just does your face and then you're in?
You know what? I was actually thinking about that because for the Touch ID, the whole thing is like, so it tells you you need your password and you have to like touch the Touch ID.
Right.
Imagine if it were Face ID and you said, oh, it needs your password and it just looks at your face and sees it. But like, would Apple actually do that? Because like, you have to tell it. You know what I mean? Like you should tell it to do it. If it just did it automatically, that might not be good.
Interesting. I see your point. I'm thinking about like how it would work on the iPhone. Because on the iPhone, you still have to click fill password, and then it does the scan.
Yeah, you tap. I mean, I guess, you know, if you click or press enter, it could be enough. But a lot of things you have to like, you know, if you're paying for something, double, you hit the side button twice, and then you do Face ID, and then you can pay.
That's true. You do always have to prompt it to do Face ID in some way.
So I wonder...
Even if it's the simple, you know, swiping up. Oh, man, my phone's locked. Damn, that's embarrassing. Even if it's just the simple, like, swipe up to unlock.
Yeah.
Which then, would they bring that to the Mac?
Swipe up to unlock?
Well, on the trackpad, you could two-finger swipe or something.
That's true.
Because I mean, right now you hit the Face ID. You like put your finger on it. That's your unlock. So would they replace that? Would it go automatically when you open the lid, or would you have to swipe?
That's a good question. I feel like because the funny thing is like the Mac is like the perfect place to put Face ID because it's sitting generally on your desk in front of you, and the camera is pointed directly like your phone. I guess you're looking at it, but it's like you're holding it's in your hand. It's gonna like move around a little bit, and they've nailed it on the phone that it's, you know, very rarely if ever have problems with it. But the Mac is a stationary thing, and it's just the camera's in the perfect position to scan your face that it seems like a no-brainer. But I guess there's, you know, maybe other questions about it.
I'll tell you what the biggest question is: distance. Because on average, you're further away from your Mac. And I've noticed this on my iPad. I don't know if you have as well. I do frequently end up in situations where I have to either like duck in. If I'm standing and I open an iPad, I'm like, okay, let me duck down and get it. Let me get a little closer. Like I do sometimes have to reposition it. Even on the M4 iPad Pro, they haven't totally fixed that yet. Which is weird if you think about it, because the iPhone, like, theoretically, I mean, yeah, look, I can unlock my phone at like an upside down angle. Okay, you can't do sideways. Upside down, but like you can get real sideways and it like at this angle, it can still recognize everything. But on the iPad, if you're that off center, it has trouble.
You know, I didn't think about that. That's a good point. I guess you would be significantly further away from your back. Okay, so maybe.
Would they do both?
Face ID and Touch ID?
Yeah. I would imagine no. It seems like an unnecessary expense to have both of those available. But I feel like... And then here's the other question is the notch, okay? Some people were talking about that. They were saying they got to get rid of it. But other people actually like it. Here's a great example. This person loves the notch. And if it wasn't there, the menu bar was smaller like how it used to be. The screen kind of feels smaller. That's one way to put it. They also said that the notch gives an excuse to keep the menu bar not hidden in full screen. And that's actually something that I really love about this generation is I personally keep it hidden, but the fact that you can go up to the top of the screen and access the menu bar without that thing that it used to do on Intel where like the whole top bar slides down, I hated that.
Yeah.
Because I was always hitting it by accident. But now you can get to the menu bar without affecting anything. And I kind of like that. It's weird. It's very, I guess that would be the only like glaring polarizing thing would be getting rid of the notch. But that's really minor.
I guess. I don't mind it personally. You know, like you said, it's built into the menu bar. Mm-hmm. It's not like that space was really being used. When you use things in full screen, yeah, you get easy access to the menu bar. And I feel like a lot of things, so like if you're watching a movie, mm-hmm. it's gonna have black bars anyways.
Right.
Like if you zoom in all the way, you're gonna cut off the sides. So it's like,
yeah.
And it's such a big screen that proportionally speaking, the notch is a small part. It's not like the iPhone. On the iPhone, the notch is, you know, I'd say noticeably bigger.
Right.
The screen is smaller.
I mean, just as a percentage of screen area.
Exactly. So I feel like the notch doesn't bother me at all. And if they got rid of the notch, I'd be like, okay, that's cool. But I wouldn't have any, like, that would not convince me to upgrade.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think, honestly, that's a great point. Nothing's up there. Nothing is where the notch is.
Yeah.
The only thing that was a little bit wonky was when the first M1 Pros came out and some of the apps menu bars were like going on either side and it was a little funky on the 14-inch MacBooks. But it's kind of whatever. It would be cool. It would be very sick visually if they had no notch.
Mm-hmm.
I could also see, I mean, if they did sort of like a iPhone 16 thing where they make the bezels tiny and they get rid of the notch completely, so it's completely smooth.
Mm.
And honestly, round the bottom corners too. That's my hot take.
Yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't.
Exactly.
Especially because, I mean, I guess some people hide the dock, but for a lot of people, the dock is down there. So those corners are literally just dead area.
And the dock corners are rounded.
That's true. It would look nice.
I feel like that's a really, because everything has been getting way more rounded. Everything's in a bubble. You look at Notification Center since Big Sur. You look at all the app icons. Like, the whole rounded corner aesthetic is completely there. Like, all of the UI elements, all of the, you know, even like the when you build an app, all of Apple's like Swift UI kit stuff is all in that realm. Yeah. So I think that they should round all the corners. I think they should make the Pros thinner. Mm-hmm. That's a big one for me.
Yeah.
It's going to be tricky though, because they've been putting a lot of the emphasis in the new chips on performance, not on efficiency. So making them thinner would necessarily mean less battery and less cooling. And that's, I mean, that's the thing is, right? The M4 chip is really, really fast. And this actually, I have a theory.
Okay.
So the M4 chip is the biggest improvement in performance for any of the chips since M1. Hmm. Not by a ton. You know, M1 to M2 was like 15-16%. M2 to M3 was like 18%. M3 to M4 looks like 22%. We're talking single core performance.
Okay.
So it is noticeably faster. Like the M4 chip that was leaked in the unprecedented breach that we had, where a Chinese YouTuber and two Russians got a hold of the M4 MacBook Pro a month early. That's insane.
Yeah.
Just on face value.
Yeah.
But they ran some Cinebench numbers, which we've never had before because, you know, iPad. And it obviously has a fan, so it does about 4% better than the iPad does in terms of multi-core performance. And, I mean, just quite simply, fastest single-core chip ever.
Mm-hmm.
The core is ridiculous. It's redinky-donky. And so, this is my theory. This is the last, we'll say hypothetically for the sake of my theory, this is the last update to this generation of MacBook Pro. So it makes sense. When you have this design with big old thick battery, big old cooling system, you put those gains all into performance. Big send-off. This is like the mid-2012, right? That thing was an absolute screamer. And it was I mean, someone said in chat earlier they work at Apple and they still see people with 2012 Macs coming in. Mm. Those things were freaking legendary. So as the final generation, you give it this big push. M4, M4 Pro, M4 Max are going to be ridiculously fast. But then next year, you're doing a redesign. So you don't necessarily need to give everyone the same jump in performance because you're selling people with a redesign. So far, all of these chips have just been, hey, you want a faster Mac? It's the same, but it's faster.
Yeah.
With a redesign, you flip that. Barely any different in terms of performance, but all of the gains in, you know, year over year silicon improvement, if you put that into efficiency, make it run cooler and use less battery, then you enable a new design language that's thinner and lighter. That's what I think they're doing right now.
That definitely makes sense. Yeah. I think, if M4 is supposed to be the most powerful, I guess we kind of know. We have it in the iPads, and a couple of people have it in a Mac. So, yeah, if it's going to be the fastest chip and the design is the same, then, yeah, they're selling you on that faster chip. For me personally, I'm not going to upgrade because my computer's already way more fast than it needs to be. But, you know,
probably true for most people.
Probably for most people. I mean, yeah, mine is way, way, way more powerful than I need to be. But next year, yeah, if they step back a little bit and don't update the chip as much, you know, don't have as big performance increases, but there's a redesign, yeah, then they can focus on the redesign. They can focus on more efficiency. Even if it's the same, I guess it's not going to be the same. They're going to do something, but, like, for me, I guess the point is, like, for me personally, even if they said this new chip is twice as fast as the old one, 100% increase, right? Twice as fast, I still wouldn't upgrade because there's no point.
If you already have more performance than you need, them offering you more performance doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. So the only thing that would maybe get me to upgrade is a redesign. If there's more, you know, different features, if it's thinner and lighter, and I don't even know what else they would do, but performance is definitely not going to be the thing that gets me to upgrade.
Right.
So, yeah, the point is, you know, this year they're focusing on performance again, I guess, you know, hopefully next year they could say we're using the same chip again, but it's a new design. I don't think they're going to do that. It's going to be a little bit of an increase. But the point is that I don't care how marginal the increase is if there's a redesign around it.
Interesting.
Because then that's the only way that I would, you know, consider is if it's actually an interesting redesign.
That's an interesting perspective. I could see that. And I think that's probably the boat that – I think that is why I think a redesign will be next year.
Mm.
Because there are a lot of people like you. And I think Apple is aware of the fact – that they, in some ways, have given themselves a bit of a tough road ahead.
Yeah.
They have said, all right, we are going to change the entire world overnight, and then we then have to top it within a few years. That's a big challenge. I don't envy that. I really don't. Because, you know, they did two things at once. They did the best and biggest redesign that we've ever had, and they completely blew the entire world of computing off of its feet with M1 Pro.
Yeah.
And, ooh, that's a tough one to follow. So I do think, as unfortunate as it is, I think the Mac is going to struggle for a few years. I think we're going to keep reading Mac sales down, Mac sales down. We're going to hear that a lot. Because once the transition is complete and you get that many people to buy, you know, and we're not talking about iPhones here. We're not talking about, hey, bring in your old iPhone. It doesn't matter if it's on fire. We'll give you $500 for it because we're a carrier and we want you to upgrade. We're talking about out-of-pocket $2,000 laptops. This is not something people are buying on a regular basis. And, I mean, when they're that good, why would you? I still have friends that use 2015 MacBooks. Even they have not been swayed by any, even Apple Silicon. You know, dual core i5 is enough for what they want to do, as opposed to spending, you know, another $600 right now. It does the same things.
Okay.
So if you've spent $1,500, why would you want to spend it again? That's the big question. But I do think that Apple has done a great job with the upgrades that they have done. And the reason for that is because, I mean, the value for the MacBook has just gotten so much better. I mean, think back 5 years ago. If you wanted to do anything more than just like check your email, I would have said 15-inch MacBook Pro. Because those dual cores were just abysmal. I guess in 2018 they had quad cores in the 13-inch. Mm-hmm. That was like, you could get by. But with integrated graphics and Intel and butterfly keyboard, they were not. I wasn't going, oh boy, great value. It was like, this is bare minimum, and it was $2,000.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Nowadays, the thing about all of these, you know, 15 to 20% improvement cycles means every year you can just get the same performance for cheaper. And right now, the M4 chip is faster than the M1 Max that you have, significantly.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I was going to say, because I've talked about in the podcast before that I've been thinking about maybe going to a MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess, you know, maybe my next computer would be a MacBook Air. Not, I don't know if I'm gonna really do it with my current one. Like if my current one works, I'm going to probably keep using it. But eventually my next one, because it was always, you know, MacBook Pro. The next one's going to be the biggest MacBook Pro, 15-inch, 16-inch MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm thinking MacBook Air. And that's... you know, that's a great point. They're like, honestly, the M1, like regular old M1, probably would have been good enough for what I do or a lot of what I do. But yeah, those little incremental upgrades every year means that when I finally do, you know, if and when I do go to the MacBook Air, you know, like you said, the M4 is going to be more powerful than the M1 Max that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And the M1 Max is already way more than I need.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even... Yeah, you know, the performance is not a problem anymore, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing because it means that I can go to a MacBook Air if I care more about the, you know, I can get that thin and light design without compromising on the performance.
Right. Yeah.
But again, you know, the performance is not a problem anymore for the majority of people. It's not the problem. The vast majority.
It is weird. As a reviewer, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because I remember, you know, telling people like, okay, this is, if you want to do X, Y, and Z tasks, you're going to probably want X, Y, and Z specs that, you know, don't buy anything older than this. You want to get quad core, you want to get 6, you want to, you know, do all of this. Now I just tell people, yeah, buy an M1 MacBook Air. If you want a cheap one, buy an M1. If you want a good, you know, not newer design, buy an M3. If you really need more powerful stuff, you can get a 14-inch. Anywhere from a refurb one for $1,200 to a new one for even $1,500, $1,600 for an M3, it's just, you really just have the best options out there. But that does bring me to our next topic, which was brought up here by Tech God.
Hmm.
Do we feel in our heart that we'll see October event invites this coming week? And this is, I've been trying to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard pretty reputably that November 1st is what people have put out as the release date. That was Mark Gurman. He said the 28th, October 28th, Monday, Apple Intelligence.
Okay.
November 1st, MacBooks. So those are our two data points. Let's figure out when the event is going to be. Now, here's my thinking. Wait, I've looked at the wrong month. Hang on. I have looked at the right month. Right. Okay, I'm a smart guy. So, if we're talking about the 28th being a Monday, I think that's a valuable data point. Mm-hmm. I don't think Apple would release Apple Intelligence the day before an event. They might, though. Okay. So here's what I'm envisioning. And this was my thought. I think Tuesday, October 15th, mm-hmm. would make sense for event invites.
Okay.
that would put the event next Tuesday, which I'm now realizing I need to reschedule my accountant meeting if that is the case.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that. I thought I said it for the 21st. Anyway, we'll figure something out. So that would put the event on the 22nd, at which point they would, you know, do an update on Apple Intelligence. They'd say Apple Intelligence will be available next week.
Right.
And then that would put – the only thing that is throwing me is how would they do the pre-order for the Macs? I don't think they would. I think it would be available day of. Because, like, obviously the iPhone gets a pre-order day, which would be, you know, the Friday of the event, the following Friday being the launch day. But what's throwing me about this one is typically the Mac stuff is available to order today, shipping
Friday.
Next Friday or this Friday? That's the question.
Yeah. So I wonder, okay, if Apple Intelligence, or I guess the initial batch of features for Apple Intelligence is launching on the 28th, and there's going to be an event right around there, it would make sense for them to talk about it, I feel like. At the same time, it's not necessary because they've already shown all of these features in events. I wonder if they could, let's say it's the 29th. Okay, let's say Apple Intelligence is the 28th.
Okay.
The event is on the 29th. And then on the 29th, they say, we launched Apple Intelligence yesterday with all of these features. They've already talked about the features, so they don't need to go into too much detail. But they can say, we've launched it yesterday, and people are already loving it. I don't know if they would say that, but something. And then, you know, that Tuesday is the event. I feel like, I don't know if Apple would mix, I guess maybe they would mix Apple Intelligence with Macs, because Apple Intelligence goes with the iPhones more.
And it's supported on all of the Macs that are going to come out.
That's true. It is supported on the Macs. So they could, I could see them talking about it. You know, they've never talked
about it. That's probably how they're going to market these new Macs, by the way. They're going to say these are the ground up AI machines, even though they're not. Even though all Apple Silicon Macs support it.
I also wonder, because all of the Apple, or not all, but most of the times that they've shown Apple Intelligence, it's been on the iPhone, right? They've shown, I mean, obviously some of it's going to apply to the Mac, like the rewriting, you know, you select some text and rewrite it or, you know, change the tone or whatever. There are going to be some things that are supported, you know, the new
Siri. A lot of the same features.
But I wonder if Apple will, like, so if these new Macs are going to be marketed as, like, AI, because of course they're going to be, wouldn't it make sense for Apple to talk about AI on these Macs? Like, what if there's going to be some Apple Intelligence feature for the Mac specifically? Or something.
So wait, but does that mean it would be before or after the release?
I mean, it seems like it would be before in that. If that's the case, it seems like they would announce it before Apple Intelligence releases. But
that's true. I do have a comment here that I want to highlight. First of all, we've got Miles here. AirPower is coming back. That's absolutely the case. And it's going to support the Mac, too. You just put your Mac on this pad, and it charges wirelessly. It's going to be crazy. But here's an interesting remark from Tech God again, once again, proving their God status, by the way. It's worth noting that iOS 17.1 did come out before the October 30th event last year. And that is interesting. And also, it is worth noting that typically the events that Apple holds in October tend to be very late in the month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really does come down to, is the event the 22nd or the 29th? From what you were saying, I could see it being Apple Intelligence is now available. That's how you kind of open the event. And also, here's new Macs available for pre-order today, 29th, available for sale November 1st.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I think it really depends if Apple's going to do anything for Apple Intelligence, anything special for Apple Intelligence on the Mac. If they're not, then they don't need, then they can launch Apple Intelligence before the event, and then they can just remark, we launched Apple Intelligence yesterday, last week, you know, whenever. I guess it would be yesterday, theoretically. But if they're going to do something for the Mac, and I, because, okay, with the iPhone 16 series, they announced the camera button. You hold the camera button, and then you can just point your camera at something, and it'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
That was the new, That was the new Apple Intelligence feature for the iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be an Apple Intelligence feature for the Macs?
Interesting.
I don't know what it would be, and I guess it's not gonna. There's not gonna be any hardware to support it because we've already seen the actual hardware.
Yeah.
Crazily
we
enough.
We already have the M4 chip.
So, yeah, so it's not going to be a hardware thing.
So I think there's unlikely going... I don't think there's going to be an actual specific to these Macs Apple Intelligence feature.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there will be more of like a... And Apple Intelligence runs the fastest on M4. And Apple Intelligence is built... M4 is built specifically for Apple Intelligence and, you know, all of that stuff. I could see them doing that.
Yeah.
And I do think a lot of the marketing materials for the M4 are going to be something along the lines of, like, you know, someone typing very slick camera work, the fastest computer now with Apple Intelligence. Mm-hmm. Like, buy the AI machine of your dreams. You know, that type of marketing will probably be the case.
Okay, so in that case, I think that they could realistically not they could do the event after Apple Intelligence launches, and they'll
That's
just
true.
They can say that they launched it recently. Mm. You know, it's I guess when it launches, it'll launch on everywhere. It'll launch on the Macs too,
right?
And then they'll say, you know, it's even better on the new Macs, and
yep.
and they'll show it.
The new neural engine computes Apple Intelligence tasks 1.5 times faster than. You know, all of that stuff will probably be at the event.
Yeah. And so in that case, if the rumor is November 1st, then my guess will be the 29th will be the event. Pre-order today, available Friday. That's my guess based on...
I was previously leaning towards 22nd for the event, but I think you're making a good argument here. It's kind of convincing. That week is going to be very busy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Holy
a lot
cow. Yeah. So I'm going to be, I'll be doing an Apple Intelligence video.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be doing an event live stream and video.
Yep.
Probably nothing between then and the launch. I'm going to need a break.
Yeah.
Although I'll still want to be doing more Apple Intelligence stuff. Gosh dang it. This is the thing that Apple always does. They can never give me peace. I just want, you know, if we're going to get an event on the 29th and release on November 1st, that would be perfect because I'm making a video on the 29th and the 1st. I can take those 2 days off.
Yeah.
I can play Minecraft. I can watch some nice, I can watch movies back to back.
You can watch Apple TV Plus.
It's exactly. I sure could. But nope, they're not going to give me that satisfaction because they got to say, oh, we're going to release Apple Intelligence so that video is going to be rushed as hell. And then you're going to feel like you want to do another one after the event. But realistically, probably TikToks, if I'm being honest. But, you know, no rest for the weary. It's the job.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, in the summer, when things are dead, then it's like you're like, yeah, there's like times where things are very dead and then you don't have that much to do and you're like, I wish there would be something for me to talk about. And then there's times like this where there's like too much for you to talk about, and it's stressful. So yeah, Apple, you know, it's kind of crazy. Apple doesn't optimize their schedule to content creators. It really is just for them.
I know, it's so
kind of unfair.
It's rude, frankly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, though. We do have to get running pretty soon here.
Okay.
So, I think you guys are going to really enjoy next week's show. I'm just going to say that. We've done a pre-recorded show in the past with Jonathan Morrison. That was a fun time.
Yeah.
But that one I released as sort of like a normal video. I just scheduled it. I think we're going to try to do next week a live broadcast of the pre-recorded thing. So it'll have like the chat and I can be in the chat and interact with people while it's going on, which will be kind of cool because I never get to like go in and text and respond to people because we're like talking and shit.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I think it'll be a fun time. And I think you guys are going to like it. It's definitely not like anything we've ever done before.
Yeah, it's going to be a very special episode.
Yeah.
And that's all that we'll say about that for now.
And that's all we'll say until then as well.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for listening. I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We will see you next week for that special episode, and have a great night.